This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
Good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We dragged our heinies in here into the hermetically sealed studios of East Hartford, and we are connected to Farmington, and where Matt Sorois is feverishly taking your calls. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC. I can't say feverishly anymore. I'm sure that's probably a wrong word to say. No? So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. But in honor of all the fun that Microsoft has given us this past couple weeks with their Exchange debacle over a decade of a wide open hole and the recent Patch Tuesday Windows 10 blue screen of death that happened alongside that problem, we're going to play for you Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie, Every OS Sucks.
Well, way back in the olden times, my computer worked for me. I'd laugh and play all night and day on Zork 1, 2, and 3, the Amiga VIC-20 and the Sinclair 2, the TRS-80 and the Apple II. They did what they were supposed to do. Wasn't much, but it was enough. But then Xerox made this prototype. Steve Jobs came on the scene. Red of mice and menus, Windows icons and trash and a bitmap screen. Old Stevie said to Xerox, "Boys, turn your heads and cough." When no one was looking, he ripped their interfaces off. Stole every feature that he had seen, put it in a cute box with a tiny little screen. Mac OS 1 ran that machine, only cost $5,000. But it was slow, it was buggy, so they wrote it again, and well, now they're up to OS 10. They'll charge you for the beta, then charge you again, but the Mac OS still sucks. Every OS wastes your time from the desktop to the lap. Everything since Apple DOS, just a bunch of crap. From Microsoft to Macintosh to Linux. Every computer crashes, cause every OS sucks. Well, then Microsoft jumped in the game, copied Apple's interface with an OS named Windows 3.1, and it was twice as lame, but the stock price rose and rose. Then Windows 95, then 98, man, Solitaire never ran so great. Every single version came out late, but I guess that's the way it goes. That bloatware will crash and delete your work. NTME, man, none of them work. Bill Gates may be richer than Captain Kirk, but the Windows OS blows and sucks. At the same time, I traded in, yeah, right, for what? It's top of the line from the CompuHut. Fridge, stove, and toaster never crash on me. I should be able to get online without a PhD. My phone doesn't take a week to boot it. My TV doesn't crash when I mute it. I miss ASCII text and my floppy drive. I wish VIC-20 was still alive. But it ain't the hardware, man. It's just that every OS sucks and blows. Now there's Linux or Linux. I don't know how you say it or how you install it or use it or play it or where you download it or what programs run, but Linux or Linux don't look like much fun. However you say it, it's getting great press, though how it survives is anyone's guess. If you ask me, it's a great big mess for elitist, nerdy schmucks. It's free, they say, if you can get it to run. The geeks say, hey, that's half the fun. Yeah, well, I got a girlfriend and things to get done. The Linux OS sucks. I'm sorry to say it, but it does. It sucks. I'm sorry. Every OS wastes your time from the desktop to the lap. Everything since the abacus, just a bunch of crap. From Microsoft to Macintosh to Linux. Every computer crashes, cause every OS sucks. Every computer crashes. Cause every OS sucks.
Ah, yes, Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. 2002 vintage, Bob. And unfortunately now, the fridge, stove, and toaster actually do break. And yes, it can take your phone can freeze up when you mute it. I mean, unfortunately, back then it didn't. You know, everything worked back then. But now, I mean, I'm looking at an induction stove, which is based on magnets. You know, that's not going to work for all forever.
You know, even the old cell phones, smartphones, have more computing power than the original Mercury spacecraft had.
Do they really? The old ones?
Oh, yeah.
Mm, well, and they also worked. So just in honor of, we haven't played Three Dead Trolls in a long time. 2002 vintage, and they were still... It's still sadly valid today. We haven't done much better because what do? We retread the old crap and just put a new date on it and call it Exchange 2019, which is no different than Exchange 2016, which is no different than Exchange 2013, which is no different than Exchange 2010. But you paid for it every time.
Well, they've been doing that in the auto industry for years. They changed the headlights and the what you call it on the same base.
That's different,
model.
Though.
I mean, what's different about it?
I mean, the chassis work. It'll be the only thing that would be the same for that is if the chassis that they built it on fell apart. Now, in the 70s, they did, right? They rotted out. They fixed that, right? They did, right? The 70 chassis, they would just rot out in 20 minutes. But now they have a chassis that works. Microsoft has the same crappy chassis. Yeah. That's what we're dealing with. I don't know. I digress because it hit us so hard recently. It's been really pretty maddening. I hope that it's not coming through the radio, my bitterness. Let's go to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. Let's go to Joe in Wolcott. What's going on, Joe?
I agree with your bitterness with computers. By the way, you spoke about induction stoves there.
Yeah.
The high EMF that they give off can affect people that have pacemakers.
You're kidding.
They spoke about people not with heart paper, not get too close to those stoves working because, the EMF will affect their heart pacemakers.
I'm not surprised. There's always something.
Yeah,
so thank you.
Okay. So if you love to cook, don't buy one.
Right.
You're right.
See, I don't love to cook, and we just want it for cleanliness.
Well, the more complicated things are, the and then when they do have problems, like with computers and cars and everything like that, you're stuck.
Yep.
What I call about is I have a Palm, a portable device. You probably heard of it. The model Zaire 31.
Wait a minute, a Palm device?
Yes.
That thing is vintage 2002 as well, probably.
Yes, it's quite old. I loved it. I loved it. It wasn't connected to the internet. I'm not connected to the internet. I really don't care about it because there's more problems. I have people, relatives, connected to the internet, and they got more problems, and they asked me to try it. I do deal with computers, but...
Yeah.
Let's hear what I'm trying to deal with Palm OS. It's part of the device. I went from an XP. It was communicated backup on an XP laptop, okay?
Yeah.
Now I'm on a Windows 7 desktop trying to do it, and I have the CDs there, 31, and what they call Documents to Go CD that's supposed to help to communicate the language between the Palm and your computer, Windows 7. And the problem is the format is a PDB. I don't know what that means.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. When you're trying to open the files show up on the Windows 7 computer. But it's in the format that has, when you say open with, it'll be there open with Notepad or WordPad, they call it, WordPad, mm-hmm. or some other something. But it's all scrambled. It's not,
right.
You know. So I thought Adobe Reader, I thought probably will work, but I don't know what can't read those portable formats, portable device formats?
I think it's going to have to be a Palm device that would read it, not anything else. I mean, I have found a way to hot sync your Palm to a 64-bit Windows 7.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I got some links for you here.
Where's Tab Computers? It's in Berlin, right?
No, we're in the lovely town of East Hartford.
All right, East Hartford. I should go visit.
We don't serve the public, unfortunately. This radio show is a public service to the public, but we don't serve the public. Sorry. Yeah, but we do have a link here we can put up as far as how to sync your Palm to Windows 7, if that's at all helpful.
I'll have to go with somebody else's house and do that with. I have a
friend. Oh, right, because you're not on the internet, right?
No, that's why I go to somebody else's house. Or I could go to the library, that kind of stuff, where I get internet. If I need the internet service, I go that way. But most of the time, I'm not on the internet.
You're probably a happier guy, Joe, for it.
On the internet?
By not being on the internet.
Yes, I certainly am. I have everything's independent, and I have Windows 7, the desktop, and I love it. Beautiful. I have files, and I make up Excel programs and Windows. What do you call it, document?
Yeah.
And they're independent, and I could have copies, and I could use them, and I feel like I don't have interference from the outside through the internet with all kind of hacking and everything else going on.
Yep, I hear you, man. There's always that yin and yang, and you're the yang.
It's like I hate new cars because they're getting more ridiculous and more complicated. I have family and friends that have newer cars, and the manual is like a size of a encyclopedia or a Bible, and they're asking me, I don't know. I mean, and then we change a lot. Anything, it's ridiculous.
I hear you, Joe.
Every time I go to the store, I tell people or tell the young ones, wait for that PC chip that's going to go between your eyeballs.
Right, that's the next thing. We're going to upgrade into cyborg level.
Good luck, comrades.
I hear you. Joe, we'll put a link out there for you. You have to go to your friend's house or the library. I think the libraries are open on the 19th, so you can go on the 19th and go check out the link we put out there for you, okay?
I appreciate that. Tab's computer, right?
ComputerTalkWithTab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works.
Okay, I appreciate that very much.
You're welcome, Joe.
You guys are beautiful. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. He's right, though. Go ahead.
They're still making palms now.
Are they really?
Yeah. They're, what's it called? You can get them. They're right here. I got up on their website.
Who was making them? Some Chinese company?
Oh, no. They have them, and they're making like a little tiny smartphone the size of a credit card.
What?
Yeah. And looks kind of neat, but, you know, I don't know.
Is it the same company, Palm, or is it just
Palm.
Happens to be palm size?
It's palm.com.
All right. That's pretty
designed
crazy.
For life on the go.
All right.
And,
well, Joe's not going to do it because it'd be connected to the internet, and he's not doing that. And I don't blame him. Let's move on to your calls. We're going to go to Tom in East Longmeadow. What's happening, Tom? Tom, you there?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Ocean Joe called about the T-Mobile home internet.
Yes, he did. On the Rhode Island guy who was out there trying to get his T-Mobile connected out there.
No, I'm the guy that I was the T-Mobile guinea pig. I'm still using the hotspot on the phone, a high-speed hotspot.
Nice. Yeah, I remember your calls. So you're still using it.
Yeah. So I'm going to go to the home internet. What's holding us up is, long story short, T-Mobile gives out free lines every once in a while, and if I get the home internet, I want to drop my personal line. Except that I can't drop my personal line for a year from, I think it was last July or so, because my son has that free line, and if I drop my line, they'll take away that free line. So I'm just waiting until July to pull the trigger on the home internet.
Okay.
We'll take all the home. But anyway, I caution Joe because those units are not, they don't like people bringing them mobily.
Well, I'm sure what he did was he checked to see if it. I'm hoping he did this. He put the address of this Rhode Island house, not the one in his wherever he lives house. I mean, it should have been that spot that he signed up for.
Yeah, I don't remember him saying that.
He didn't say it. He didn't say it. But I hear what you're about to say because you're right. If you put your address in Connecticut and you happen to get access to it, it doesn't mean it's going to work in a different town as well.
Well, it will, but they just don't want you to do that, you know, and they could possibly not let them do it. I mean, I haven't heard of any cases and haven't seen anything in the interweb sphere of anybody, you know, having problems with that. T-Mobile just likes customers. They like customers, period. So I don't think they'd start throttling people down with that.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
He's gonna let T-Mobile, us know how he's gonna do.
T-Mobile is so far ahead of AT&T and Verizon, technology wise, and customer service wise, and customer wise, and you know they just it's a great company, and you know they treat their workers nice too. Not that I really care that much about that, I guess, but I mean it's a nice thing. You know.
Yeah, treating your workers is important. I mean everything. If you get a happy worker, you have a happy company, and then you have happy customers. I mean that's how it's all supposed to work.
Yeah, you don't see on Twitter or any place AT&T employees or Verizon employees, you know, extolling the virtues of T-Mobile the way T-Mobile employees are. Oh, before I forget.
Yeah.
Now, even with this home internet, there will be deprioritization after 50 gigs, I believe.
50 gigs?
Yeah.
50 gigs?
That may go away after a while.
And that's not good, though.
Say that. I rarely get DP'd on my home, you know, using that high-speed hotspot. And I'm still getting, on a really horrible, you know, very congested evening, 20 gigs, 20 megabits.
And that's kind of slow.
You know, most of the time, 35 to 50-ish.
Yeah, but 50 gigs of bandwidth is not much bandwidth. You can get through that in a couple of movies.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be a drawback.
We're watching a lot more Netflix now, and boy, it's, you know, 7 days I've eaten up through that.
Yeah. So then when you watch Netflix after you've been DP'd, does it work still?
Yeah, and okay. That's the thing. I mean, they say they can do it. You know, you may be deprioritized.
Right.
But, again, I don't ever it doesn't – it's never acted like it has done that.
Okay. Well, that's good news. Well, I'm glad you called in, Tom, and you've had it for a long time, and you still have been using it, and the price is still the same, right? No data caps.
Yeah. And in fact, mine's $25 a month because, you know, it's through the high-speed hotspot, and, you know, it's grandfathered and guinea pig.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, $50 for everybody now, and no rumors at all that they're ever going to increase that.
So. That's good news. Well, I appreciate you chiming in and letting us know.
Very good. Enjoy the day.
You too, Tom.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls. Couple lines open for you. Feel free to do so, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, if you wish to join us. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Let's get right to your calls. You're filling the board for us, making sure we don't talk about our kids, which is probably a good idea. Let's go right to Chris in Wethersfield first. What's going on, Chris? You there, Chris? Morning, Chris. You there? Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah.
You got that hum. Did you call last week?
Yeah, I did.
I remember that hum.
Yeah.
So what did we do? Did we
tier. Thanks did we, for tier for that.
Yeah. Did we improve things? Did we break things? Did we help you? Or is this a complaint?
Well, actually, you know, I'm just doing this investigation, and you seem to be, you know, people that are on the ball. By the way, I should say, I loved that song
Every
that
OS
was
sucks.
Played.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. What I'm really looking for, I'm thinking you're some type of consultant for people. How do you do business?
We work with businesses. We help businesses with their IT, not the general public.
Not normal. Okay.
No.
But still, same question.
Yeah.
A person wants a personal computer. And they want the cheapest configuration that's reliable.
Right.
Just to hook up to the internet at a certain cost. And if you had to kind of make up that configuration, that's what I...
Yeah.
In the state of Connecticut, with what we have available,
yeah.
Would you have a recommendation?
Sure. I mean, you should spend about $800 or so on an i5 with 8 gigs of RAM and a 256 or 512 solid-state hard drive. Those are your base configurations.
Okay, $800
or so.
Yeah.
For an i5 processor, as new as you can get, 9th gen, 10th gen, 11th gen, whatever they're offering, the newer,
i5
the better.
i5 processor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
And a solid state, either a 256 or 512 solid state drive running Windows 10. You should be able to find an $800 computer in that price range for consumers. Maybe a laptop or a PC if you go to a Staples or a Best Buy. That's where I tell you to look. And that should serve you well. If you spend too little, it's going to be based on poor quality components.
Okay. That
and
sounds
then,
good.
Yeah, and then the internet is whatever you can get in your neighborhood. If it's just you or just a couple people, just even DSL could work for you. you know, 25 megabits can work for general streaming.
Now, you're in Wethersfield. Go NetSpeed might be available to you.
In Wethersfield now, too?
Well, I think it's expanded from Hartford to Wethersfield.
Really?
Let me check that.
Wow. If Go NetSpeed's in your area, you'll be a very happy camper.
Oh, yeah. I have been actually seeing them.
Oh, good. So check out Go NetSpeed for your address to see if it is there. And that's what I would tell you to get is the cheapest, the slowest that Go NetSpeed offers is 150 megabits up and down, which is plenty of bandwidth for almost everybody. All right, Chris, we're coming up against a hard break. Hope that helps you.
Yeah, it does. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. So Sheila and Judy, hang on. A couple lines open for you guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Get online for us. And we're here till 11. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and I just want to quickly mention, Michael Harrison mentioned us on Talkers Magazine on Thursday, so we have a little Thursday mention of Computer Talk being around for around 25 years, so I want to thank Talkers Magazine for noticing us. It's kind of cool. And we'll get right to your calls. Let's go to Sheila in West Hartford. What's going on, Sheila? You there, Sheila?
Good morning. I have a question about a portable charger. I have one that I think it costs less than $10, and it's the size of my iPhone, and it works, and it seems to work rapidly. And I wondered if that can have any kind of damaging effect on the iPhone battery or the iPad battery when I use it.
Generally, the answer is probably yes, unless it's compatible. You have to be sure that your charger is compatible with those devices. And some devices, if they're older, aren't able to rapid charge. So is the version of the iPhone you have a rapid charging version?
I don't know, but it does charge rapid. It works so well that I just thought I read or heard that rapid charging can be bad for your batteries.
Yeah, they can be. If your battery is not designed for it, it can be. So you really just need to check. So the fact that it charges doesn't mean it's necessarily not harming it. You should just double check to see if the version of iPhone you have is a rapid charging version. What version do you have?
Well, I'm sorry. I can't tell you.
iPhone 6, 7, 28,
35? It's SE, whatever that is.
S as in Sam, E?
Yeah.
I never heard of that one.
It's it's a model number, but the SE is whatever. Could it be like a 6SE or it could be, who knows?
Yeah.
So it's a 2020. It's an iPhone SE 2020?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
It's okay.
I can go over to the Apple store and ask them.
If you've got nothing better to do, you can do that. You can also use the Googles. I'm trying to do some Googling here for you to see if they talk about it. Yeah, it looks like the iPhone SE 2020 has been tested with 5-watt versus 18-watt chargers. So it looks like you can do it. So it does seem to support it.
Any charger, or should I be getting an Apple charger?
Well, Apple would like you to get an Apple charger. and again, you never know. If you use third-party things with Apples, there's potential risk in it, from what I've heard. So I would always tell you to try to stick with the brand of technology that will best work with the brand you're using. I know they charge too much for their stuff, but that's probably the safest thing to do. But it looks like it does support rapid charging. So you're probably okay.
Okay. Well, I haven't used it much ever since I started to be worried about that. But anyway, thank you. I've been waiting to decide whether I should ever use it again, the charger.
Yeah. Looks like you can. But that's not an Apple charger, right?
No, it's just something I picked up in the checkout line at Walmart.
Oh, boy.
I know it was under $10, so it's nice and slim and, you know, fits in the purse and all that, but I don't know anything about it.
So those type of things worry me a little bit because you're going to have it's a battery that's all juiced up, so you charge that battery to charge other batteries, right? And if it's just sitting around, I don't know, I have a kind of a weird worry about those devices possibly catching fire. Maybe it's an unfounded one, but something you pick up in as you walk out the door at Walmart, it's been sitting there. I don't know.
Made in China?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think I'd want it in my home. And that's just me. I'm probably overthinking it, and maybe I'm crazy to do so, but there's enough issues with batteries these days catching fire, sparking right in your, you know, even iPhones catching fire on their own, Androids catching fire right in your pocket, to have another battery that's ready to charge yet another battery. Just seems like you really don't have access to a power outlet. You need to have a battery versus that. That's just me. We have to be careful, I think, these days. All these batteries we're using, these lithium ions, are not necessarily always going to be the safest solution. And they do catch fire. They do bulge. HP recently had issues with their laptop batteries bulging like this. They were really overheating. So I don't know. I think we're adding more potential in our homes. Maybe I'm over concerned. Maybe I'm wrong. I think we lost her. Let's go on to Judy in New Hartford. What's going on, Judy?
Oh, hi. I love your show.
Thanks.
You guys are fun and interesting, but I don't understand the computer stuff. I'm an old, old dinosaur.
That's okay.
And so what I'm looking for is someone to come to my house, someone that you could recommend that knows what they're doing to help me get my computer and help me get it set well.
If I had a nickel for that, for every request we get, man, I'd be driving a different car. It's hard to find people that I could quote unquote recommend to come to your home. It's a difficult thing. Do you have anybody in your family that you trust?
Well,
over the age of 15 is really what you need.
I haven't had any luck. So you don't have anybody you can recommend then?
Not really. What I would tell you is the senior centers generally do have computer folks that do training for seniors within many senior centers around the state. So if you consider the senior center and see if they have courses or classes, because there's a lot of volunteers that go to the senior centers and try to help folks to get a little more up to speed, that might be the best place to start. Because knowledge, just because you haven't done it yourself doesn't mean you can't do it. You just need the knowledge. And I would check with your local senior center on whether they offer classes. They should be bringing people back soon. Maybe the 19th is when everything comes open for that, too. I have no idea. But that would be my best recommendation, because those volunteers mean well, and they're going to really try to help you understand technology.
Oh, okay. Well, I enjoy your show very much.
Thanks, Judy. We appreciate you calling.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, just recommending people like that, Bob, is tough, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Right? I mean, I wouldn't be comfortable just saying, oh, call this guy over here or this guy over there. And a lot of folks take advantage of folks who don't know what they're doing. You know, they don't know, how much should you charge to fix my computer? Well, if you're even a Microsoft scammer on the phone lines, they charge you $350. And seniors pay that all the time, right? They get scammed out of $350. You know, how much is your time worth? How much is the IT guy's time worth? It's hard to put a number on it, especially for your home computer, but you know, could cost you $500 or $600. Wouldn't you rather know how to do it? And the senior centers out there are trying to really educate folks from what we've heard over the years. Let's go to Doug in Burlington next. What's going on, Doug?
Good morning, Eric. Morning. I have a gateway that I'm running Windows 10, and I'm having a problem with the Windows update. I've not been noticing a problem since Tuesday, but it went back prior to that. It will update the computer, and it will take about an hour to upload the system, and then it gets to the end and says it can't completely install the system. Then it will go through another hour of uninstalling everything.
Yeah.
Well, since Tuesday, now my computer, if I walk away from it, you know, when it goes into sleep mode, it will just shut off. I'm wondering, you know, is it time for a new computer? I don't know. It's a pretty good computer. At the time, it's a Gateway.
Gateway?
It's running an i5 processor. I have 1 terabyte hard drive, which is not anywhere near full, eight gigs of RAM. I mean, I like the computer. It works well, but now it's not usable because it keeps shutting off.
Right. What vintage is it? How old is it?
I think it's 8 to 10 years old.
Oh, boy.
DX4870, if that model number means anything.
Well, anything Gateway, that company hasn't been around for a long time.
I understand.
So here's the thing. There's probably some portion of that hardware that Microsoft is coming up against and having to say, I don't have a driver for this, and has to pull back. You can try to configure your system to stop the updates or delay them. You can go to a recovery point on this if you still have one. That brings you back to prior to when this update keeps trying to occur. And we can put a link up there as to how you postpone the major feature.
I did that the last time, and it overrode it.
Oh, so you're gone so long already that it's really kind of forcing you.
Right. I told it to stop because when I had the problem the last time, I told it to stop with the updates. But when I was at work on Tuesday, it must have went over.
Isn't that maddening? That normally would be considered ransomware, and when they or a malicious software that says, "I don't care, Doug, that you don't want my software. You're going to take it whether you like it or not. We're going to waste a bunch of hours on the update, and then waste a bunch of hours removing it once we realize we can't do it. And we're going to make your computer completely unusable to the point where you're going to say, I need to buy a new computer."
Well, that's the point where I'm at.
But I know.
I have everything on the one I have, and how do I get it to a new one if I go to a new one?
Well, you're going to need to copy the data to, like, external hard drive, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So feel free to do that. You can just copy it and just move the data to that hard drive. Reinstalling software is going to have to happen from scratch. You're going to have to find your disks or download the whatever software you're using and reinstall it on the new machine. A 10-year-old system is, even though you like it, and even though you shouldn't have to be forced to do it, it is kind of past its prime. 10 years, it owes you nothing.
Right. No, I understand that. I guess I just wasn't ready to buy a new computer, but...
Well, Biden's giving you $1,400.
That's right. The government's going to buy me one.
You're stimulated. Go,
right.
Go stimulate.
Right. I guess I know where I have to go.
Yeah. And I think that amount of money, if you spend that amount of money on a new computer, man, it'll give you another decade until Microsoft screws it up again.
Until the next stimulus, okay.
Well, the stimulus, that's probably the last one, bud. I mean, we can't afford $2 trillion. I mean, yeesh. I feel bad for my grandkids' grandkids.
Okay. Well, I guess this will hold me until Bill Gates forced me to buy his hamburgers.
Exactly. They're not ham. They're plant-based. So, yeah, I think you got to do that, Doug. There's not much more we can help you with other than have you go back to a recovery point and wait until the next forced update.
By the way,
so it's inevitable that it's time to replace it.
I think they forced your hand finally, yeah.
Yes, okay. All right, well, I appreciate what you guys do.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you so much.
Good luck. Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
So Gateway computers are still around.
Are they really?
But they're owned by Acer.
Acer?
Yes. So, yeah.
I used to remember the great cow logo they had.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gateway.
And they used to send their computers out in the cow
boxes. Yeah. Oh, man. It was like, that's probably where Amazon got the little smirk idea. Gateway and their big cow boxes is pretty cool. So we're going to be here for a little bit more. Feel free to get online. We're going to step out for a quick break. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so feel free to stick around for Dr. Alessi. Then I got a feeling we got pet talk and law talk and all sorts of stuff going on here at WTIC, so stick around. And garden talk, too. Don't forget garden. Now we're going to be able to grow things because it was, the weather's getting nice. Looking forward to that. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Dennis in Glastonbury. What's going on, Dennis?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Quick question. You get this topic a lot. Mm-hmm. I have Frontier, and I just have them for internet because I switched to YouTube TV and I dropped my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm curious as to whether or not it's worth reducing my charges. I pay $43.99 a month for 12 megabytes.
And it works?
Yeah, it works fine.
Okay.
But I'm just curious if I can go lower than that.
Well, $49 a month for 12 megabytes
$43.99.
Yeah, it's plus. Too much. They're charging you too much for that little tiny bandwidth, but we know that, right?
Okay.
If you're getting away with, you're able to stream on 12 megabits, what's their next lowest plan?
The next one is 9, and it's $40. $40.
Don't do it. Not for that difference.
Yeah, because I didn't think it was, you know, it's just kind of change. You know, it's not a lot of money. The next one is 6 for 35, but 44. I figured Frontier was expensive, but because they always have been, but I didn't know if I needed less than 12.
I'm shocked you're doing well with 12, and that's a great thing that you are, but they're charging you too much for 12. I mean, you can get 150 by 150 for GoNetSpeed for $50. So what you're paying for per megabit is quite a premium. You should check, too. I've been hearing Frontier's been putting fiber in the areas now. You may want to check to see if they do offer fiber, and you might get a lower price for fiber. Again, 12 megabits is, if it's working for you, don't change it.
Okay.
It's great to hear it. But they are laying some fiber. We talked about it last week where a listener to the show, Bobby C., is putting in fiber. And it was a pretty fast broadband for very low cost. So you're doing great. I wouldn't change anything.
Okay, terrific.
All right, Dennis. You got it.
Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. 12 megabits, man. So that just makes the point even, hope that drives it home for you guys. When you're having issues on your internet in your home, it's not necessarily the pipe that comes into your house, right? Think of the internet the way you think of water. If you're on the city water system, that pipe is coming in at about an inch and a quarter to your home. And you're able to all take showers at the same time. You're able to run the dishwasher at the same time. It's not the pipe that the issue that you have to deal with. It's your internal internet configuration. How good is your router? How good are the devices that you're streaming to? Not the speed with which you're getting it. Now, if you have like, they're going to tell you, Comcast or whoever you talk to is going to say, well, if you have 10 people on this, you need 500 megabits. No, you don't. You don't. You just don't. You can easily get away with about 150 megabits or even 100 megabits for a home of 5 people. I don't care if they're college kids doing their classes and streaming and watching TV and playing video games. It'll all work on that bandwidth if you just have a fairly standard configuration for your network. So, Bob, is there anybody else on the phone? You want to refresh that for me?
Yeah, let's give that a shot.
All right, no one's on the phone right now.
Uh-oh.
So what did you want to talk about, Bob, as far as Microsoft and Google and the news?
Okay. So I got another CNET article.
Yeah.
One of many. Microsoft Google trade barbs. Microsoft and Google trade barbs during congressional hearing on news industry.
And they're not Barbaras. This is just barbs.
Barbs.
Okay.
Yeah. So Microsoft says Google has gobbled up ad dollars that once supported journalism. Google says Microsoft's criticism is opportunistic.
Yes, it is.
Yes, I agree with both of them.
Yeah.
Microsoft President Brad Smith says Google's massive success in online advertising has come at a cost. The journalism industry is rapidly shrinking as Google swallows up tens of billions of dollars in advertising revenue each quarter.
Right.
On Friday, Smith testified to the U.S. House Committee on Judiciary's Antitrust Subcommittee that Microsoft supports a proposed law to offset the imbalance. The new bill would effectively let newspapers collectively bargain with tech companies over news content.
That's what they did in Australia. Sort of.
Something that typically isn't allowed.
Right.
So it's perfectly clear that was previously advertising revenue for newspapers has instead moved to advertising revenue for tech companies,
right,
told the subcommittee. The hearing came as Congress considers the Journalism Competition Preservation Act, which would allow news organizations to collectively bargain,
right,
with tech giants over payments for stories that appear on the tech firm sites.
Right.
The proposed bill so far appears to have bipartisan support in both the House of Representatives and the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about time. I mean, the internet companies have gotten away with murder forever, and they're making tons of money off these news articles. They should pay.
Plus, they're able to censor the news they don't agree with.
On top of that, yeah, so you only get what they want you to see. So it's about time. I guess I agree with Microsoft. Started the day being upset with Microsoft, ending the day
agreeing with Microsoft. I hope you guys enjoyed the show this Saturday morning. Thank you all for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. Thank you, Mike G, for posting everything live over to ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Thank you to Matt Sorois over there in Farmington for running the program remotely. Someday we'll see you in person, bud, I hope. And, of course, everything's been posted over at WTIC's ComputerTalkWithTab.com. And we, of course, are on WTIC's Facebook page as well. Thank you guys for watching us there.
See you next week.